Hello, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk The Connection, a platform where we discuss issues affecting young people. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington, D.C., and I'm your host, Evans Zininga. And today we are talking about the economic hardships in Zimbabwe for the young people that are affecting them in many spheres and different angles. But before we go deeper into that, let's take a quick look at the situation with the Israel-Hamas war. Now, U.S. President Joe Biden will visit Israel tomorrow as a humanitarian crisis grows in the Gaza Strip ahead of an expected ground invasion by the Israeli forces. VOA's Michael Brown reports.
President Biden's arrival comes as Israeli forces are staging near the Gaza border. So far, more than 1,400 Israelis, 2,800 Palestinians have been killed in the war. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken spoke about Biden's trip after his marathon 7.5-hour meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu Monday.
He's coming here at a critical moment for Israel, for the region, and for the world. And he's coming here to do the following. First, the president will reaffirm the United States' solidarity with Israel and our ironclad commitment to its security. Second, President Biden will underscore our crystal clear message to any actor, state or non-state, trying to take advantage of this crisis to attack Israel. Don't. To that end, he's deployed two aircraft carrier groups and other military assets to the region.
Blinken said the president will hear from Netanyahu on how Israel will conduct its operations in a way that minimizes civilian casualties and enables humanitarian assistance to flow to civilians in Gaza in a way that does not benefit Hamas. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby told reporters that after Biden stopped in Tel Aviv, he is going to Jordan, where he will meet with King Abdullah and the presidents of Egypt and the Palestinian Authority. Michael Brown, VOA News.
Tensions have been rising there on the Lebanese-Israeli border since Israel began the military action against Hamas in the Gaza Strip. And the Lebanese militant political group Hezbollah has warned that an Israeli ground invasion of Gaza would bring them into the conflict, a promise that would inevitably drag Lebanon into a costly and especially complicated war. Jacob Russell has this report from Beirut.
As Israel appears to be preparing for an invasion of the Gaza Strip, the Lebanese militant political group Hezbollah has said that this would provoke their entry into the war. The border between Israel and Lebanon has been tense for years, with Israeli defense forces and Hezbollah periodically exchanging fire. Until now, both sides have respected rules of engagement designed to avoid triggering a full-scale war. But already in the first few days of the Israel-Hamas conflict, the violence along Lebanon's border with Israel has escalated considerably, causing casualties on both sides of the border.
Compared to the previous rules of engagements and the attacks that happened in the past 2 days were an escalation of what we've had in the past. And I think what comes next is also going to be, within the same frame, and a kind of an upgrade in terms of violence that we've previously seen. But the question is, are both sides interested in keeping it within this confined space?
Inside Lebanon, Hezbollah enjoys support from those who see it as defending a just cause.
It's not okay to restrain, to hurt Palestinian people, children, and civilians. It should be military against military.
However, many also remember the last time the two sides went to war in 2006. And do not want to be dragged into another one.
Of course we're afraid. It will destroy our homes. It will destroy our country. We've had enough. We don't want it.
The likely destruction that Lebanon would experience in another war with Israel would have serious consequences for the country's fragile internal order.
If there's a massive Israeli bombing campaign out of 2006, leading to a great destruction within Lebanon, that would reshuffle the cards internally.
Hezbollah appears to have little interest in assuaging the concerns of other Lebanese. Speaking anonymously, a senior commander recently told VOA News that the party has units in Beirut at full readiness to defend its supporters from other Lebanese factions. He said, quote, "If necessary, we can take over this country in 24 hours. Lebanon is still reeling from a profound socio-economic crisis and could ill afford to rebuild after a war. Internally, the long-term consequences of war would depend heavily on Hezbollah's ability to secure funding for reconstruction." Jacob Russell for VOA News, Beirut, Lebanon.
A lot going on there in the Israel-Hamas war. Before we move to the next segment of the show, let's take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depends on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
And for those just joining us, this is Live Talk, The Connection. We're coming to you live from Studio 7 at The Voice of America in Washington. We are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Jebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. And today on Live Talk, we are looking at the economic challenges in Zimbabwe and how these issues are affecting young people. And to discuss this hot topic, we are now joined by our guest tonight. I will start with 4-H Zimbabwe Foundation Director, a very youthful entrepreneur and humanitarian, Mr. Johnny Muchenje. Welcome to the show. And we have just been told we won't be able to have the CCC spokesperson for the youth in Zimbabwe, Stephen Sarkozy Chuma. He had promised to come on the show. Unfortunately, we've just been told he won't be able to make it. But we will still bring you our own USA-based Tim Muringai. He is going to stand in, and he always delivers. Thank you, Tim, for joining us. And also we have ZANU-PF Information Officer, Mr. Francis Mufambi. Gentlemen, welcome to Live Talk.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you so much.
All right, now let's kick this off. We've had very interesting comments from people from the ground, and they have been talking about a lot of this. And as well as the background of what's been happening in Zimbabwe post-election to date, young people in Zimbabwe are talking. Where are they going from here? What challenges are they facing in Zimbabwe? Let's open the floor, and I will start with you, Mr. Muchenje. I know you've done a lot of work with young people in the country. What's the status? What is happening in Zimbabwe today in relation to young people?
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. In terms of the engagement that we have held with the young people, pre-election, during, and also the post, we are seeing that the young people have accepted that the message that we have been preaching about peace. We have seen that our elections were peaceful. We are happy that it was also acknowledged by regional bodies, African Union, EU, and also SADC. They've acknowledged that our elections were peaceful. So post-election, in terms of the national development project, the inclusion of young people, even organizing, we are looking at government creating opportunities for young people to participate in the national development processes. We are looking at policies that are pro-youth. We are happy that our elections, we have 10 youth quota MPs, of which 7 are from ZANU-PF and 3 are from CCC. We are going to engage and push and advocate for these MPs that have come from the youth quota to be active in terms of pushing and creating opportunities, economic opportunities like employment, availability of resources, the inclusion of young people in the development processes. Well, we have done the elections and we passed that phase. So now that the MPs are now in parliament, we expect them to push to make sure that the policies that are pro-youth are being debated and passed in parliament, so that all the youth that are in Zimbabwe, almost 32%, are meaningfully and effectively participating in the national development processes. Mm. So we are pinning our hope on the youth quota MPs that have been brought into parliament.
All right. Thank you so much for breaking the ice there. I'm hoping Mr. Mufambi and Mr. Muringai have been listening to what you had to say. Let me come to you, Mr. Mufambi, and pose the same you've heard from Mr. Muchenje there. From your ZANU-PF perspective, what challenges are the young people in Zimbabwe facing today as we speak?
Okay, thank you very much, Evans, and good evening, listeners. As ZANU-PF, we are not concentrating much on the challenges, but we are focusing much on how to resolve these challenges. So let me start by reminding the young people of the big challenge posed by President Dr. Edwin Mnangagwa, that we can never come alive. Zimbabwe has been delivered to us as an inheritance. To the young people who formed the second and third layer leadership. With that in mind, we should understand that the central government is cognizant of the artificial challenges that are as a result of illegal sanctions befalling our young generation. And I can assure you that as a ruling party and this leadership, we are aligned to the needs of the young, of the youth. And we are working tirelessly to make sure that a proper package is available to mitigate and solve these economic challenges and make sure that we uplift the masses of our people from poverty. So the ZANU-PF government is a program of action, and which I can explain in, let me say, maybe 6 cardinal points, if you allow me to do so. Initially, our government is focused on encouraging youth entrepreneurship, and we are doing this through youth empowerment programs and the employment creation strategies that are being done by the government. We are making sure that the young people are entering into various businesses. And number 2, which is critical also, Ivan, is we are making sure that funding is accessible to the youth. And funding is made accessible through the Youth Development Fund and the Youth Empowerment Bank to make sure that we can be able to fund startup projects that are being done by the young people. Number 3, we are making sure that the young people have access to the means of production and participate in strategic sectors such as agriculture, mining, tourism, among a range of other sectors. And number 4, we are making sure also that we are encouraging skills development provided by the education policy 5.0 to enhance employability of the young people, to make sure that we encourage innovation. And this is why Zimbabweans are fitting in any economy. And number 5, I can actually say, for us to mitigate the problem that we are facing, we need to collaborate in order to leverage the expertise, the networking, the experience that we have for both the domestic youth and those in the diaspora. And finally, maybe I can say, the president has always been encouraging innovation so that we understand how to value add and beneficiate the resources that God bless us with. So that is my initial submission.
Mm-hmm. That's a whole mouthful there, Mr. Mufambi. I hope Vamuchenje and Vamuringai have been listening as well to what you had to offer. I know, Mr. Muringai, you are in the USA. You're probably not in Zimbabwe to see what's happening on the ground, but we know everybody has family, has friends, has colleagues in Zimbabwe. We all know what is going on in the country. And from your CCC perspective, you heard what Mr. Mufambi just said. Perhaps before you respond to that, give us your own perspective from a CCC perspective. What challenges are there, economically especially, for the young people in Zimbabwe today?
Thank you, Mr. Zininga. Thank you to Mfambi and the other brother. I forgot his name. The basic things that are in Zimbabwe, two challenges. Number one is to create what Mr. Mfambi labeled six major points. You need legitimacy. And legitimacy is important because then the world bodies can then throw the FDIs into the economy where creation of employment is not partisan. It's a national thing. The second thing I wanted to add is a devolution of power, where we are disengaging the power from one man center point to a local center point, where provinces and districts run their own business in order to create local employment and in order not to overflow the cities with the unplanned and housing crisis that we have right now. Now, to go back to the issue of Mr. Mfambi, he noted something which said that the youth have challenges, which is very true. I'm thankful that he admits that there are challenges. The challenges are twofold. We have an economy that is parallel, number one. We have a U.S. economy that is used by ZANU-PF to report to the Bretton Woods institutions as markers or KPIs to say that we are doing XYZ. And then we have the corrupt system of RTGSs. So that one is unmanned and nobody knows what the fiduciary value is, because nobody can tell you the people who are on the streets that are changing money being monitored by such and such. So in such confusion, we cannot create reliable employment. We have over-educated youth in our country that cannot get formal employment, that cannot create employment, because Nika, like he said, we have four of Mnangagwa's kinfolk in cabinet right now as we speak. We have another one that we hear is going to be the Reserve Bank governor. So when you have home politics like that and a blind-sighted government, we are moving nowhere. All this is brought by the illegitimate elections that happened. I want to thank you.
I hear you, gentlemen. You're all throwing in punches there and throwing in a very interesting information. Let me come back to you, Mr. Muchenje, from a non-partisan perspective. The situation in Zimbabwe today, can a young man in Zimbabwe today go out there and start a business? Can he go out there and get a job? Can he go out there and be useful and productive in the economic sector that we are seeing in Zimbabwe today?
Okay, thank you so much. It's unfortunate that I was two spokespersons from our political party, it is ZANU-PF and CCC. But from a non-partisan perspective, Zimbabwe is a country that belong to all the political parties. Everyone who has got a Zimbabwean identity has got a right or a claim to have everything that he desires in our country, according to the constitution, according to the laws that are in our country. So in terms of the laws, to me, everything is clear on paper. But when we maybe talk of enforcement, are we really following what we have laid down? That maybe could be another topic for another day. But as the situation is like today, we've seen young people, like, for example, myself, and I'm one of someone who has been doing entrepreneurship issues. I've done some farming, some business in Zimbabwe. the economy is open for everyone who wants to take opportunities. Like, for example, if you talk of the, if you want to pursue politics, we've seen a number of MPs that have come from opposition parties, from independent, we've got Honorable Temba Mulisa, who was the previous government. So we are saying the government or the country is open for young people to do their own businesses. What we then need to do is to make sure that we just abide the laws that are in our country. So from a non-partisan perspective, talking from a Zimbabwean point of view, the opportunities are there. But what we are just advocating for, or where we feel is need for improvement, is for pro-youth policy, is for young people to be able to access the resources. We've seen some quotas being created for the youth quota, for the whole veteran. So what we want to see, youth quotas being created for accessing resources, for example, in terms of allocation of land. We want to see 20% being reserved for land. In terms of mining, we want to see 20% being reserved for the young people that are below 35 to access. We are thankful for what the president did in terms of separation of the Ministry of Youth and Sports. We are now seeing the whole ministry, which is now responsible for youth empowerment, just responsible for the youth. So it shows that the government has shown some interest or a need to make sure that the youth are being empowered. Mm-hmm. But what we are just seeing, advocating and pushing for, is the fair allocation of the resources and also creation of the youth quotas for the MPs, for the youth. Because we need young people to make sure to create a quota where we are saying, in terms of the land, mining, all the resources, the young people are being prioritized.
All right. Let's hold it there. I'm changing. We'll come back to that and more. We've got a caller. This is a very burning topic. Can you hear me, caller?
Yes, Andrew Kunzbay.
Welcome to Live Talk. Murikupi.
Okay, thank you, Andrew.
Zvakamira sei? Zita ndiani motiudzawo zvamuri kufunga?
Ndinoitwa silence, ndiri kufona ndiri kuunit o.
All right.
Ya, ndanzwa ndangobatira hangu topic nechepamberi nechepakati, but I think according nenyanga ichitaurisa about our economy, zvinhu hazvina kumira mushe mukuru.
Chii chiri kunetsa?
We can't pretend as if everything is okay. Tinangoti kubvira economically, kubvira pamari chapo chapo, datanga pamari apo apo, zvakafanana mabond notes, ma50 bond aya ari kurambwa everywhere, vanhu vachada ma50 bond. Dheri ma100 bond acho iwayo ariko acho haasi kusekureta, haichenji, haisi kuwanika. Saka, what you are thinking ndezvongoti ndarangotaura kuti economy ndongoshandisa, ngatingoshandisa US dollar, because mabond acho avari kugadzira. It's not even working. It's not even working. Saka it's better because right now it's a deeper ground. Tikupinda bees kuenda kumabasa kusemi chego chego ukakwira kombi vanotaura kuti hatina change. Ukavapa dhola ende hapo pangu pacho nekuzvimhanya dhola raunenge wabhadhira kombiro raakuenda rese achitaura kuti havana change. Saka ipapo our government is letting us down.
All right, Mukoma Silence, Mariku Unit O Kuchitungiza. We thank you so much for joining on the show tonight. Maitaba Asaimi, Ticha Ramba, Chiku Kumbire, Murambe, Mchizoga, Futi, Pungwa, Zenyuti, No Zidapano, Chirongwa, Ndeche, Nyu. Gentlemen, Malanzu, Waka Mukoma Silence, Javaru Kutawresh. Ndoda Kuzoga, Kunala Mfambi. Manzu, Wazotoro, na Mukoma Silence, Varu Kutishuna, Shuna Kumira, Mishe Munyika. Mari hadzisi kushanda, zvinhu zviri kunetsa. What's your take on that? Is Zimbabwe ipi yavari yavari kutsanangurai?
Okay, let me start by addressing the politics of what Comrade Maringa is saying. Especially when you talk about issues of legitimacy. When you talk about issues of legitimacy, you should understand legitimacy is something that is not like Coca-Cola, which is clear ingredients, but it's something that should come from the people. And like what Comrade Mchenge said, he said the elections are now over. We should not look at the country and the economy and the election year. If we do that, if we politic about certain issues, then we run a risk of not getting them solved in a particular way. So we cannot actually say even
anything good that happens in Zimbabwe only happens by chance. And anything bad that happens in Zimbabwe then is a responsibility of Zanu PF. So basically, I would like then to go to what Simon said. In as much as we know that there are all the business people, there are all the transporters who are saying they do not accept this denomination or that denomination, but the government position is clear. Every current that has been given to the people by the government is working. And there is no economy in the world that can function using other people's currency. So definitely we should come to a point whereby we make a decision to say we need to have a certain currency that belongs to us, that we can control, a monetary policy that we can control as a people. So basically, all those things are challenges that we might face along the way. But those are things that the government is on a parasitic stage solving on a daily basis. And we can actually see that the business environment in Zimbabwe is improved. We can actually even use the statistics that have been released by IMF, World Bank, and so forth. You can see those organizations are saying Zimbabwe is improving, the economic growth is being witnessed. So basically, we should be patient and allow the government to work and to allow the program of action to be put to use. And also to be patient enough to understand that our currency is the only basis for our development.
Mhm. Va muringa indofunga vari kuvaviwa vari kuda kupindura. Manzwa zviri kutaurwa here navamufambizo vamuringa.
I'll give him one example even amkoma wangu mchenje.
Mhm.
Zimbabwe iri kuenda notamba World Cup qualifier ye home in Rwanda. All right. Takuita basic economics. Mavenda mangani abviswa pa equation iyoyo. Makombi mangani angachenda ku National Sports Stadium abviswa pa equation iyoyo. Mabhazi mangani angachibva kwa Mutare kwa Bulawayo achienda ku National Sports Stadium kunosupporta Zimbabwe. Maice cream vendor mangani asubtractwa. Imari iri kushandiswa national team iri kutamba home game muRwanda iri kuendeswa nendege. Mm. Let's not put lipstick on a pig, gentlemen. Zanu PF yakanya nyika. And we all need to come together and recognize that. That's number one. Once I know my brother Mfambi recognize kuti there is a problem, then we move from there. Number two, kwakaita gold mafia situation, iri kutaura iyo varungu vakataura na Ian Macmillan kuti $200 million is leaving Zimbabwe. Iri kuita border jumping. Hakuna kana taxation, hakuna kana chii chiri kuitika. But iwo vari kuya panapa varoti ha Zimbabwe iri kufamba iri kuenda iri kufamba kupi pamwe inini muri kufamba nema GD6 iri kukufambirai pamwe ivo vari kufamba nema Lamborghini nezvakataura zvokufamba
pane basa
not regular youth 90% unemployment mukatarisa mastatistics ari kutaura nyaya inflation yapa 400% varume how do you create employment in a 400% inflation economy.
Vamuringai mabvama varisa chirongwa nguva yedu inobva yadyana nayoita shoma. I wish we had more time to discuss all these issues. Very important topics. We need more time, man, gentlemen. I will try to have you again on this show another time so we can continue deliberating and discuss further on this. But for tonight, because of time, I'm going to have to say goodbye. I'm going to have to thank you all for being on the show, our listeners, our viewers, and everybody who participated on the show tonight. We thank you for being on the show. Tine ma listeners, ma viewers, ma comments, akawanda, daitaita nguva yakawanda, takuverengerai zvimwe zviri kutaurwa. Ne vatsigiri vari kuona chirongwa vari kudzimba ne vari kuteerera from all wherever they are in the world. But because of time, we're going to call it a night tonight. So this brings us to the end of our show. And once again, thank you very much. I will be sure to see you again soon. Tune in again tomorrow. I am Ivan Zininga in Washington, D.C.